We had a good week of practice last week, and today we begin our preparations for the Seattle Seahawks. Our players were in this morning for meetings and weight training. They'll have tomorrow off, and we'll start our preparation on Wednesday for the Seattle Seahawks. And with that, I'll open it up and welcome back Darrell Ledbetter. Well, they're playing very good football right now. Over the last 7 or 8 weeks, they're playing as well as any team in the league. Offensively, I think it starts with what their quarterback's doing. He does a very good job running their offense. You have to account for him as a running back, so you're going to have to concern yourself with that. I think he tied Peyton Manning's rookie touchdown record, if I'm not mistaken, with 26 touchdown passes. So he's doing a nice job throwing the ball as well. He's playing very consistent football. They're not turning the ball over. They're taking it away. Marshawn Lynch, the running back, one of the top running backs in all of the NFL, runs very hard, runs behind his pads. He's an aggressive runner. And they've got a good core of receivers. I think three very good receivers. Sidney Rice is the guy that I think leads their team. Tate is a very good receiver as well. Golden Tate, young receiver. And then they've got their third receiver, Doug Baldwin, can run. So they're very talented up front. They got, I believe, two Pro Bowlers and the left tackle and the offensive center. Do I need to go on any more about the offense?
That's good.
Give you guys – get your work done for you. Defensively, they've got arguably, some people say, the best corner duo in the league. They're both very physical, Sherman and Browner. They've got very good size. Their safeties are very physical. Chancellor is a guy that Cam Chancellor can come down in the box, very aggressive. Earl Thomas is a guy that can run up front. They got two good defensive tackles. They play a very good rotation. Got a big defensive end, and then they've got two guys that they rotate in. In their pass downs that rush the passer very well. We're not sure about Chris Clemens, and the other one is Bruce Irvin, who have, I think, 20 and a half sacks between the two of them this year, including the playoffs. So that's my rundown on their roster.
How does it affect them if Clemens can't go?
Well, it means Bruce Irvin will have to probably step into that role. Bruce is a guy that's very similar in stature to Clemens. He had 8 sacks in the regular season, had one yesterday in the ball game. He's 12th pick in the draft, if I'm not mistaken. Guy that can, get up the field very similar to Chris.
Mike, what have you found to be the most difficult parts in managing the pressures of the second season?
I think the biggest thing is when you get the bye, you've got to make sure that you get the right workload and manage the management part of keeping the guys focused on what really they need to be focused on that week, and that's getting better as a football team. We spent all last week working on Falcons on Falcons. This morning at our meeting, it was the first time we'd met where we've had an opportunity to really talk about who we're going to be playing, because prior to that there were three choices or three different teams that we possibly could face.
Mike, Pete Carroll coached a couple other teams previously in the league. Do you ever go back and look at the tendencies of his coaching back previously and then now?
No, we do go back to – we've played Seattle in the last 2 years, although their offense has morphed into something different this season with the new quarterback. But we've watched the games that we played last year and the previous year to see what they're doing different and what they're doing the same, and see philosophically if there's a whole lot of changes. They've kind of really changed their offensive philosophy with the new quarterback, and he's doing an outstanding job. He's a guy that Russell Wilson can extend plays. When he goes back to pass, he's a guy that can turn a 4 or 5 second play into 12 or 13 seconds, and that can cause issues for guys that are in coverage.
Mike, compared to other playoff teams you've coached here, could you sense any tangible difference in this team going into the playoffs that maybe you didn't sense in the previous years?
Jeff, we're a much more mature team because of our experiences. I think you learn from your previous experiences in the playoffs, and this is a team that's been very focused from the very beginning of the season, and we've got a lot of guys that have experienced the playoff atmosphere, and they're going to be able to help some of these younger guys that haven't. You know, we've added guys to our roster this year. Asante Samuel will be a very good resource for some of these guys. He's had lots of success in the playoffs.
Can you know it all? And I think I know what the answer is going to be, but can you know it all whether a team is sort of ready to take the next step, or do you just kind of have to wait till the game's played?
Well, we feel very good about what we've accomplished thus far this year. You know, we have expectations. We set our goals, and we've been clicking along pretty well through this season. I like the way that the way that we've played through this first season. The second season is getting ready to start, and I know that we respect everybody that's in this tournament because they fought very hard to get in it.
Can you tell us if John Abraham will be practicing on Wednesday?
John Abraham, we'll give our injury report on Wednesday. I know I was very transparent last week in terms of who practiced and who didn't. John will be participating in practice on Wednesday. Okay, we will have almost a full boat. We won't have everybody there. So,
Coach, how beneficial, in a way, it may be the game before you find out, how beneficial do you think these few days were where William could work into – improve a little bit and so on and so forth without a game last week?
Well, it was, all our intention once the doctors determined the time frame of what we really needed to do to get William back to be 100%, to get him back out there on the field and get some work as quickly as possible. He progressed well enough for us to get him out there on the field last week. There were a couple of guys that were in the same, in the same situation. Again, we're going to rely, as a coach, you want everybody out there for every practice. You've got to rely on the doctors and the trainers in terms of when they're going to be released to go out on the field. The workload for some of these guys was limited last week, and this week we'll limit some early in the week, but hopefully we'll have everybody ready to go at the end of the week.
This year the fans seem to be more excited about the situation in the playoffs than previously. Do you sense that too?
Again, it's hard for me to sense anything outside of this building. I know our players are anxious and excited about the opportunity now that we know who we're going to play. We've got to get down to game planning, and we'll present that fully to our team on Wednesday.
You mentioned earlier that Seattle's playing as well as anyone in the league the last 7-8 weeks. Do you start to feel that this is your playoff destiny to draw the hottest team in the league?
Well, again, I think if you're in the playoffs, you got to be playing efficient and good football. I think all teams are. I think there's a lot of noise about a lot of teams. I'm not just the team that we're playing. But I will say this: after watching them play yesterday, coming back from a 14-point deficit and scoring 24 unanswered points, they're playing very good football right now.
Mike, some of the noise about this team is, in fact, I heard Mark Schlereth today on the radio say the pressure of this game is 100% on the Falcons. What are your thoughts on that, and how do you manage that sort of feeling in-house?
Well, to me, Steve, it's no different than any other game. It's 100% on our football team to go out and play our best, whether it's a preseason game, whether it's a regular season game, or whether it's a postseason. as I mentioned earlier, I think every team that's playing in this tournament respects every other team. I don't think there's anybody that's not, you know, not respecting the other teams. This is a very good football team. We feel like we've accomplished what we needed to accomplish to get here, and we are looking forward to playing against Seattle this weekend.
How do you think that extra day of game planning that you had last week for them might benefit you?
Oh, it definitely will benefit us, John, in terms of as a coaching staff, we got to spend time that if it was a normal sequencing of a week, we would not have had the opportunity to spend time. We got an opportunity last night to jump on it again once the game ended last evening. And we've got all day today where we're not concerning ourselves with putting a game to rest. Normally, the day that you, after a game, you're putting that to rest in terms of grading it. So we're getting a jump. And I think that's one of the advantages of being one of the number one or number two seeds, is it gives you an opportunity to get a little bit more preparation in, especially as a staff.
When you did your post-game analysis of the previous playoff games and you looked at what went wrong or why it went wrong, did you pick up on anything that you think you could apply this year?
Yes, Jeff, we did, and it was about the bye week in terms of, I think, the way that we tried to work through the bye week the last time. We're doing a little bit different this time. The volume of work, we took a lot of time off when we were preparing to play the Green Bay Packers when we had the bye week a couple years ago. We changed the days that we were going to work. We worked a little bit longer. And I think that one of the things that we had to do was to get some work done between playing games. And we needed to work on some things fundamentally that we didn't do well at the end of the season. One of the things that we focused on last week was tackling and path to the ball on defense, and then the fundamentals of blocking and controlling the line of scrimmage. Those were our areas. Again, you're not in pads, so it's difficult to do. You've got to break it down into little pieces, and that's how we tried to approach it last week. So really the volume of work is probably the biggest thing. And then we also changed the way that we were preparing as a coaching staff in terms of spending one day on each of the potential opponents. I think we approached it much, much differently in trying to do it by situations and keeping a regular week. And this time we decided we were just going to work on one opponent per day.
And I'm sorry, what did you do last week?
We worked by situation. So we said, okay, we're going to do all of our openers, and we did all three teams. And then we turned and said we were going to do third down, and we did all three teams. That's a look behind the, behind the curtain, so to speak. But we did, we did change the way that we as a coaching staff as well went through our preparation in the bye week. Again, I think if you do it the same and you didn't get the results you want, that's probably not the right way to approach it. So we approached it differently this time.
Coach, who is Wilson most like? A lot of people had trouble evaluating him at the combine last year and just going out and playing, it looks like.
Well, when you watch him scramble around there, he looks like Fran Tarkington. I mean, he can extend some plays. I mean, if you really want to go back and see, he's got a very strong arm. He's got an arm that can throw the ball 55, 60 yards down the field. And that's the thing that impressed me. He's very hard to, he's very hard to get your hands on, especially when he is running around on passing plays. He extends those plays, and that causes a lot of issues for defenders, as I mentioned earlier. He is, in the mold of a number of quarterbacks that have come out. He doesn't have the stature and the body size of a Cam Newton. Or he's not even as big as, Robert Griffith III. But he has the athleticism of those guys. He's a very athletic guy. He's very smooth, and I think he's very intelligent. He does a very nice job running their offense. He does a very nice job running. He'll get down. He won't take a hit. Not seen many people give him get big hits on him because he's very, he's very astute at knowing when to get down.
Having a guy like Dominique Davis, then, does that help you give some
Well, it is. In fact, you know, Dominic's gotten a lot of work for us this season. We've played some running quarterbacks, and Dominic will be the guy that will be trying to simulate him when we work starting on Wednesday.
Coach, the big corner, 6'3", 195, 6'4", 221, what are they
specialized in? Well, they're very physical. They're guys that can get up. They don't always do it, but they can get up and they can create, you know, some physical play at the line of scrimmage. They're two of the biggest, two of the bigger corners in the league. And they can run, you know, they can run extremely well. I think that Sherman's playing as well as any. And Browner is a guy that we played against last year. So we're familiar with them. But they are big physical corners that that can create some issues when they get up there and they get in the physical mode where they're playing close to the line of scrimmage.
Is there a lot of debate going on today based upon yesterday's game and the injury with RG3? Is there something in place here where if a player is obviously, you know, limited on the field but still wants to be in the game, where a person of authority,
anytime there's an injury here, we have a protocol. And the doctors and the trainers are going to be the ones that make the decision on who is going to play and who can play and who cannot play.